this potentially being your last game at Heinz Field.
You know, signs are pointing to it being the last one.
Ben under center.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
All I want to do is win the game. That's all that matters to me.
Final score, Pittsburgh 26, Cleveland 14.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Thank you to all the fans and everybody.
I just don't see them hanging it up.
Earlier on the show, from NBC Sports, Peter King. Still to come, Chargers head coach Brandon Staley. Plus, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air on this busy Tuesday in Los Angeles, California. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Peter King was just on. Kurt Warner will be on in hour number three. He called last night's Monday Night Football game between the Steelers and the Browns for Westwood One Radio. I can't wait to hear what his two cents on that game is, the future of Baker Mayfield, and what he thinks about all that. And of course, the upcoming slate of Week 18 games, that's coming up later on. And Week 18, as we all know, finishes up with the Sunday night special on NBC. Winner in, loser goes home. That's the idea, unless they tie and certain results happen, then both get in. Let's see what happens when the Chargers and Raiders play one another. Justin Herbert and Derek Carr for our viewing pleasure to wrap up the regular season, longest regular season ever, starting at 7 Eastern on Peacock and then, of course, on NBC. And joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show now on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, Brandon Staley. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing well, Rich. Thanks for having me.
Sorry to make you sit through that promo material, but I got to keep the lights on. You know what I'm saying?
So I do.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure you understand the way the business works.
I respect that.
Thank you. So let's just jump into it. Something you would have signed for, I imagine, before the season is a chance to make the playoffs or maybe having it wrapped up by now. What's your two cents on playing in this game come Sunday night, Coach?
Yeah. I mean, we certainly wanted to be in a position to compete for a championship, compete, for a division championship, which we, you know, were able to do in December, is give ourselves a chance, you know, because that's where it starts, you know, in pro football. And then, certainly when, you know, we had that tough one against Kansas City and that wasn't going to go down for us, then, you know, you pivot to the next thing, which is giving yourself a chance in the tournament. And that's the type of team that we want to be around here. And now we've put ourselves in a position to do that. And, we're excited for our opportunity this week.
And COVID-19, man, I mean, talk about the things coaches are control freaks and control what you can control. You cannot control that. How is your team right now with this virus where now COVID can absolutely end a season with games like this on the line?
Yeah, Coach. Rich, I think as we've seen throughout the league, I think it just hits teams at different points. It hit us, you know, at Christmas, you know, for the Houston game where we kind of got cleaned out. And, you know, I think all of us are learning a lot as we go. And, I mean, I think since I've took the job in January, so much has changed with protocols and, you know, the way this virus is, shape-shifted and moved. And I know the NFL is trying to move with it. And I think that what we've tried to do is stay connected as an organization. And you have to stay flexible. And I think over the last couple of weeks, you know, we've been virtual in the morning, make those adjustments to limit the exposure. And I think all of us now have that, you know, that experience with Zoom in that world, and we're kind of comfortable in that space. So last week we were virtual and our guys handled it beautifully, made some alterations to the schedule. And, we had a really good week of practice yesterday, you know, last week and played well. So I think the big thing, Rich, is you have to be connected as an organization because things are going to move all the time and you got to be able to move with it and communicate well. And I think all of us in the NFL are doing the best we can.
I'm not being glib when I ask this question in the manner in which I ask it, trust me, but do you tell someone like Justin Herbert to say, go home, don't go anywhere, order in, don't, I'm serious. Like,
it's a point well taken. I think, we're trying to do the best we can with every single player, especially, you know, the premium players like Justin that matter a lot to your success. It's very difficult to win without your starting quarterback out there. So, Justin has been taking all the necessary precautions. We haven't done anything extreme, but I know that, just following, you know, the guidelines that, the CDC and, all the medical experts have put in place with masks, social distancing, washing your hands, limit exposure. Justin is, you know, obviously following that to the fullest. And, you know, I think we're all doing the best we can. And I think that he's, you know, done a good job. And I think our team has really handled it well. And I'm proud of, you know, I think, Rich, I'm proud of the way we've handled it this season, because it hasn't been easy. You know, we're all in it together. And I think that's also an important point, is that no matter what you're in, NFL, what type of walk of life, we're all in it. We all have kids that go to school and things like that. So we're doing the best we can.
Brandon Staley, L.A. Chargers head coach here on the Rich Eisen Show. So what has been Herbert's biggest football challenge this year? What defenses are trying to do to him, and what general sense he sees when he gets to the line of scrimmage, and how he's been battling that throughout his second season, first with you?
Rich, I think his biggest challenge, I think, is just handling a new offense this year and taking full command of our offense. And I think the inventory of experience is, you know, every time he plays against a different defense, he's able to bank that experience and grow from it. And I think what people, you know, forget about guys like him is that he's still brand new. You know, he's still seeing defenses for the first time. And I think that what he's been able to do throughout the season is improve his command of our offense, certainly. And I've just been so impressed with how he's taken command of our offense and run with it, and how much he's improved from the beginning of the season to now. And then also banking on, you know, these inventory of experiences with different defenses and, you know, how people are playing us and how they assess our team and learning that game within the game. And he's just becoming a more complete player every single time he goes out. And certainly one of the big reasons why we're having the season we're having. And he's been fantastic all season for us.
Well, in terms of running with it, literally, I mean, the Steeler game, he was stupendous. He had to it sometimes, I guess. But are you trying to keep him in the pocket? Is that what you and Joe Lombardi telling him? Don't do that, because he's got that ability to be a game changer with his legs as well. What's your philosophy on that?
I mean, taking the job and trying to, you know, fit this offense for him, we really wanted to be able to get him on the move, you know, with our RPO game, our keeper game, which has been a very big strength of ours, you know, getting him on the move, changing the launch point so defenses aren't teeing off. I think that's been a big strength of our offense. And then the one thing that he has that most special quarterbacks do is when that first play isn't there, can that second play become a big one? And he's shown that creativity and that playmaking ability outside the pocket, whether it's throwing to, you know, moving to throw the football in the deep part of the field, or, you know, that's how you make first downs when it's crowded and there's traffic. Can you move? Can you create offense? And that's something that he does really well. And then in the Pittsburgh game, hey, if they're going to try and take away all your receiving threats, play a lot of split safety man to try to take away Keenan and Mike, Austin Eckler, and everyone's backs turn, now he has real speed. I mean, this guy's a 4.6 guy. It's 6'6", 240. So I think that we've done a really good job of, you know, keeping him out of harm's way, but at the same time utilizing those talents, like you mentioned, so that they have to defend all 11 players on the field, including him. And I think that's why we're having the quality year that we're having offensively.
Brandon Staley, L.A. Chargers head coach here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm going to ask you a general question, and I'm sure you've been asked it many times, but I think you know where I'm going with this. Even fourth down calls, what is your, you know, sometimes you're taking some points this week, even, you know, on fourth and inside the five against Kansas City, you went for it on every single one of those situations. I know it's all relative, opponent, score, positioning, but what is your process in the heat of the moment where game clock is ticking down, play clock's ticking down, and you make this decision?
Well, I think we go into the game with, you know, initial models of how, you know, assessing our opponent and who's going to be available for the game, you know, weather, you know, all that good stuff. You know, you take all those into consideration with your initial models. Then at the game, then you have the feel of the game, the flow of the game, the instinctive part of the game. And that's what we try to do, is apply both processes and then treat each decision like they have a life of their own. And that's what I believe is the best way. And just because something goes well doesn't mean that you're – you know, playing with house money the next time. And just because it doesn't go well doesn't mean that that should turn you into someone that's reluctant to go for it. So we've tried to, you know, stay in the moment. And, you know, against Denver, it was a possession game. We were playing against two backup quarterbacks, and our defense was playing at a really high level. And so, you know, we wanted to make that a possession game, turn that into a two-score game, turn it into a three-score game. And that's what we did, and we felt like that was the best strategy for that game. Other times, it has been different. And, you know, I think that when you have an offense like ours, you certainly want to give them as many opportunities as possible, specifically our quarterback. The more chances that you give Justin to score the ball, the better, you know, your team is going to be. And I felt like he's done a fantastic job all year. And you can point to a lot of games where I feel like those decision makings helped us win. And I think we're getting better as we go. But, you know, I think the big thing, the big theme is we're just going to treat each one of them like they have a life of their own. And I think we're getting better as we go.
Well, how do you handle, like, say, the week after the Chiefs game where all those did, in fact, mount up? How do you handle that personally?
Yeah, I think being transparent with the players and with you, the media, and our fans is, you know, process over result. I mean, for instance, in the first Kansas City game, a lot of those decisions helped us win that game, and I felt like our process was good in the second game. You know, on the first drive, we had done the same thing, you know, 2 weeks before against Joe Burrow on the, you know, that offense so prolific, you know, fourth and four opening drive. You know, we go for it on fourth and four. Justin hits Keenan for a touchdown and really kind of sent us on our way in a big way in that game. And in Kansas City, you know, he hits Donald in the back of the end zone. It's a beautiful throw and catch. And then we had that just, you know, that tragic sort of ending to that play. But, I mean, that was good process. That was good. That was a good design. It just didn't go down. The one, you know, at the end of the half, my mindset at the end of the half against Kansas City was I felt like we had a chance to separate. You know, 17-10 to me wasn't the type of separation that I was looking for. 21-10 was the type of separation I was looking for. They were getting the ball at the beginning of the second half. And, you know, I was aware that, like, hey, there's no field position to be gained here, you know, because this is the last play. But I had a lot of confidence on our offense versus their defense. And I know that that's one of those decisions that was questioned, and it should be. But that was my mindset, was to make that a 21-10 two-possession game, and it just didn't go down. So, you know, I feel like, you know, Rich, that, you know, you have to be able to live with your decisions and be proud of your process, and I think that's what we've done all season long. And, you know, I think it's given us an identity that our players can believe in, that our fans can believe in, and, you know, I'm excited to continue it moving forward.
Well, I've been at this with the NFL Network for 18 years, doing this show now. This is my eighth year, and I've never asked the coach the question I'm about to ask you, Brandon Staley, but here we go. There is a circumstance. I don't know if you are aware of it, and you might be because you're very perceptive, that if the Steelers win and the Colts lose, that both you and the Raiders make the playoffs if you tie on Sunday Night Football. And there are a lot of people talking about this right now. And would you actually willingly take a tie when you know that that assures you of making it, and the other team, if you communicate with that other team, do something like that? Coach Brandon Staley.
Yeah, that's a pretty loaded scenario there, Rich.
Yeah.
You know, like, that is a all-time coffee shop scenario.
Yep.
I feel like I'm with my buddies at the University of Dayton.
Yep.
Or something like that.
Yep, that's what people are talking about.
You know, I think we all respect the game and the NFL shield and the integrity of this game far too much to you know, be complicit in something like that. This game matters too much to too many people, and we want to play our best and be proud of the result one way or the other. And so I know we're going to do everything we can to go win this game and play the way we're capable of playing. And I hope that all the fans and everybody that loves the NFL will be proud of the game on Sunday.
I appreciate you giving me an answer to the stupidest question I've admittedly ever asked an NFL head coach. But this is truly, Brandon Staley, something that so many fans are talking about. And I even just said about 10 minutes ago, knowing that you're coming on the program, that, you know, how would you do something like that? What do you get Telesco hooking up with Mayock and you and Bisaccia on a Zoom and what? And then you kneel for 3.5 hours in front of the country? I mean, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Yeah. But I do have a coach who's playing this game, and I wanted to put that in front of you. You know, and present
yeah,
that to
you. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for the NFL, I think, as you know, you've been in the NFL now pretty much your whole life. I mm-hmm. mean, what makes it so special is the competition and the level of integrity and respect that it stands for. And certainly that's what we're going to try and live up to this Sunday.
Coach Brandon Staley, thank you for the times you've called in during this regular season. And for you and the Charger faithful, I hope we have a playoff conversation and many more to come. So thank you for the time and Happy New Year to you and yours.
Thank you, Rich. Happy New Year. Thanks for having us.
You got that's Brandon Staley, the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, who is hanging up the phone and saying, that was the dumbest question I've ever heard.
But so no tie.
That's not going to happen.
I mean, no, it's a,
but everyone's
no.
saying, like, why wouldn't the Chargers and Raiders do that?
Well, it makes too much sense.
Why does it make sense?
Because they both make the playoffs.
But it doesn't matter. That's not what it's about. It's about
making the playoffs. It's about winning a championship.
Rich, you can't.
I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Can't win the championship if you don't make the playoffs.
Yes, but you can be assured of making it by winning yourself. You don't have to care about the other guy.
But if you play to win,
do you really mean what you're saying? Are you playing devil's advocate?
If you play to win, you might lose. But if you play to tie, you guarantee yourself the win.
But how do you do that though?
By the way, though, if this game goes to overtime,
I'm just having fun.
Hold on a second. Let's just say this: if the game goes to overtime, and tying does benefit you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it does benefit you, and you start taking the air out of the ball to make it, and you're on the other side, do you just clearly let them do it? Like, what if one team in overtime, where overtime is reached because, you know, you're competing your asses off, and it's just an awesome game, and it goes to overtime. If Sunday Night Football goes to overtime, and it's just like, hey, if these teams end in a tie, they both make it. And you're trying to win. You're trying to win, and you take 6-7 minutes off the clock mm-hmm. and kick a field goal and miss, and the other team now has it.
Okay.
Do you just take a knee on it to just make sure that you tie? At this point, it benefits you to tie. Forget about the fact that it benefits the other team. What if you do that to take the air out of it? And give 40 seconds left to the other team to win. And they use it to beat you. Yeah. As opposed to just taking the tie and saying, screw it. They use it to beat you. You're going to kick one from 55 yards out just to win. When the miss means you're in it anyway. But you're just spitting it your last breath like the Wrath of Khan at the other opponent.
I don't know, Rich.
What happens then? Like, that could be absolutely... The moment that this coach we just chatted with is in. And you got to look your guys in the locker room and say, we're playing to win. That's all we're about.
This is too exhausting to think
about. So
damn
straight, you win the game. You win the game. It's a fascinating, good for this type of forum conversation. But when it comes down to actually executing it and talking to a man whose life is all about competition and winning and creating that environment for his team and his locker room and his franchise, what are you going to do? Just take a knee for 3.5 hours?
Yeah. Plus all this talk about
and
ties.
I appreciate him answering that question, but
yeah,
I kind of felt compelled to ask the question that everyone is talking about, like, they should tie. They should absolutely tie. Why wouldn't they tie? It's an easy thing to tie. They both in. Shouldn't they get together and tie this whole thing? And then you're without the idea of what's the nuts and bolts of making that happen.
I know you.
And of course, his answer should have been like, you're an idiot. I'm hanging up the phone now. Forget about me giving you that parking spot. Out.
I'm never calling again.
Bye.
But it would be cool if they just played for a tie, though.
If they go at it on Sunday night
and they just happen to tie,
stop, right. And it happens to go into overtime, that will be a fascinating conversation between Al and Chris for the whole country to see, because whoever wins the toss is going to try and win the game. But what if they try and win the game and they take a ton of time off and the other team gets the ball back with just 2.5 minutes to go? Yeah. Do they run the risk of losing?
No.
No. In a regular time, forget about the fact that the tie would put the other team that you're trying to beat in also. You would play for the tie at that point in time because the tie gets you in.
Gets you in.
Correct.
And it just happens to get the other team in.
So you're playing for that tie. My question is, right, what if you play for that tie and then you have to punt? And the other team's got like 60 seconds left. Does that guy return the punt for a touchdown and just say, yeah, we win, and you're out?
For hate's sake, I spit my last breath.
Thank you very much. That's the Wrath of Khan. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Like, and then the other team is kind of like, has to understand that that's the way the cookie does, in fact, crumble.
Hello?
What I'm praying for is like 23-20. Raiders get the ball. They drive down the field. Yeah. Daniel Carlson hits a field goal to send it to overtime.
Right.
And then it's going to be must-see.
They have to send it to overtime because a loss means they're out.
Right.
They have to try to win. And somebody will try to win in overtime. The question is what happens if that doesn't materialize and the other team gets the ball back with a minuscule amount of time left, knowing a tie gets them in, do they still try to win it? And if they just try to take the air out of the ball and give it back to the other team for whom a tie also does get them in, do they try and win it just to say, we're in, you're out? Even if we had taken a knee, we'd both be in. And the Steelers and their faithful are living and dying with every second. The problem is this is all great conversation that is never going to happen for two reasons. One, competitors in the NFL will never, ever purposefully take a knee for the other team. And two, the Jaguars have to beat the Colts.
But what if
the Jaguars beat the Colts? Take a break. there was a lot of talk about New Year's resolutions in the New England area because there was a reporter that kept on chipping away at Belichick multiple times. So we'll give out our New Year's Eve resolutions. We'll ask you to do the same at 844-204-RICH as well. Kurt Warner in Hour 3 still to come.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. So this, on our break, was... good for you, Chris, that we were on our break. You didn't have to sit here the day after the Patriots got spank-a-lanked by the Bills.
2 weeks
ago. That was an absolute spank-a-potamus that the Bills laid on the Patriots.
Yeah, it was not good.
And coming off the heels of that Colts loss where they were down 20 to nothing, right?
Or a lot to a little.
Whatever the hell it was, it was a lot to a little.
Yeah.
To the point where I had a whole, tweet queued up in that third quarter of like they're moving on to Buffalo, okay, because that's their next game. I mean, they got spanked. And then for the Bills to come in and just put it on New England. Damian Harris had an excellent game, but everybody else, yeah. I mean, they were out of sync. Yeah, Mac Jones looked like a pure rookie. And so for Belichick to step to the post-game press conference podium and be asked a non-football question, you don't really see that too often, but we did. Check it out.
Football aside, sorry, but I'm doing a story about New Year's resolutions, and I was just wondering if you had any you wanted to share with your fans and our readers.
Yeah, no, not right now.
Okay, thanks.
Maybe next week.
Maybe next week.
Wow, that was nice.
Now, you know, again, as you know, Bill apologized to reporters for not answering questions the week before for Indianapolis, so maybe he's turning over a new leaf, which in a way, the answer in itself potentially revealing his New Year's resolution.
Good point.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
But when he said maybe next week, that was kind of like that small percentage of 1% that Jordan left the door open for years ago when he retired, right? For the second time?
99.9.
Right? Right? Is what he said? So the reporter came back, actually did it again.
Good for
later in the week, press availability. Roll it.
It's New Year's Eve day. Have you had a chance to consider any New Year's resolutions since I asked you on Sunday?
Yeah, they would all be personal, so it probably wouldn't mean anything to you anyway. Thank you.
There you go.
And the smile, a little smile.
Well, I mean, but that's the point, is that they're personal, so it would mean something to us because we're wondering what somebody who is one of the most successful individuals
of all time, private.
Right, is thinking.
Right.
So give it up. I found out who this person is. Apparently, I think she was stringing for People magazine.
Okay.
Give it up to Juliet Pennington of the Attleboro Sun Chronicle. Where's Attleboro? Is that in New England?
It's in Massachusetts.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she's got stick-to-itiveness. She's got one strike left. She has not asked. She has yet to return to ask the question.
Next to Pawtucket.
So no, really?
On the at Massachusetts, Rhode Island.
Okay, does that mean she's asked this of Veritech at some point in time, or
maybe
who's the Paw Sox manager now? Because she could go there. Because the New England Patriots boss ain't biting. I mean, the gumption is beyond impressive, beyond impressive. So this may not be the same intensity or level of interest for the readership of whoever Juliet Pennington was penning this tome about. But we've come up with our New Year's resolutions.
Because why not?
And we've got our own. Inspired by Bill Belichick refusing to share his. Maybe next week. And then next week comes and he shuts it down. All right. Do you have? Okay, very good.
Ooh,
very rock and roll version.
Yeah.
Brockman, you want to? Let's do Brockman, TJ. I'll go, and then Del Tufo will finish up strong.
Last.
Okay, you ready, Chris Brockman? Go for it.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, these are personal, and I made mine personal.
Okay.
Last year, we were able to take Cage to his first baseball game at Dodger Stadium. So this year, I would like to go with my son to at least one game each in each of the four major sports.
Uh-huh. How nice. Okay.
So I'm going to hit them all with him this year. It's going to be tough because he's kind of entering terrible two stage.
Oh.
So sitting may be an issue, but I want to try to do it.
Here's the thing. For kids that age, the fact that the seats go up and down is fascinating.
Okay.
Okay. And then when in doubt, screen time, peanut M&Ms. That'll get
screen
you through.
Screen time, peanut.
And bring some cars. Bring some sort of like a... You know, my
Hot Wheels.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. And I think your problem is baseball's locking out. So.
And it might be a late summer situation.
Okay. So it's a long year.
Well, it's a long, I mean, I got a whole year.
Okay. Very
the
good.
The whole year. I'm going to do my best.
TJ Jefferson, what's your New Year's resolution?
I did not expect you to go so real with yours on that
one. That's a tone setter.
Right now,
you see coming.
Now I feel a little stupid with mine. But you know, I'm a big fan of Calvin and Hobbes, the cartoon back in the day. And Calvin had this.
So is Taylor, my 8-year-old.
Yeah, and Calvin had a cartoon once that said, "I resolved to make no resolutions." And that's usually how I am about, you know, resolutions. But I'll give you one. You know, I got a thing with reading the comments on social media.
Oh, you really do.
I really do. And, you know, the thing is, I get confused sometimes because people in one sentence will say that, like, the Cowboys suck and they haven't won anything in 25 years. And then the next sentence call me a bandwagon hopper. And it's really hard for me to understand how those two things can both be correct. So I figured I got to do something. Like, who am I going to argue with about football, right? And no, I've come up with a tier system, right? Much like the club. I've broken this down into 4 tiers. And if your team falls into these tiers, we can talk or not talk. Okay.
Oh boy.
Now, tier one is if your team has 3 or more Super Bowl wins, let's talk. You're in the VIP club with me. Okay. Dallas has 5. We haven't won in a while, but we still have 5. That means the Patriots, the Steelers, the 49ers, the Packers, the Giants, the Broncos, the Washington football team, and the Las Vegas Raiders all have at least 3. Let's open up the VIP line. You can come in. We can chat a little bit. If you want to talk trash to me, fine. I'll listen to it. Now, tier 2 is you actually make it into the club, right? That means you have at least 1 or 2 Super Bowls. I will engage you because your team has won.
Wow.
But I only go so far, and that's the Dolphins, Colts, Chiefs, Ravens,
since 95.
Bucks, Rams, Seahawks, Eagles, Bears, Jets, and what the Saints, doing? Right? Now, tier 3, you have 0 wins. That means you got to the Super Bowl, but you don't win. You're waiting in line,
all right?
So if you want to try to talk trash with me and you don't have a Super Bowl win, even though you win, I'm going to be like, wait in line. That's the Vikings, Bills, Bengals, Panthers, Falcons, Chargers, Titans, and Cardinals. Now, I got into an argument on Twitter once with a fan.
This is insane.
I was like, your team's never even been to the Super Bowl. So you just stay at home. Don't even get dressed. Don't shower. Don't
quarantine.
Put on the suit.
Quarantine.
Don't stay
quarantine.
At home. Drink at home. That's the Browns, Lions, Texans, and Jags. I'm not even discussing it with you because you've never been in and you ain't getting in the club. And that's my resolution, how I'm going to stay sane in 2022.
Wow.
My God.
He hasn't been to the Super Bowl.
Hey, baby, but we stay
there
rich.
There have been, wait, let me do the math correctly. Let me do the math correctly.
Rich,
there's been a quarter century plus
that's fine.
Of New Year's resolutions for
Jets
planet
fan.
Earth.
And by my tier ranking, you are in the club, but I'm in VIP, so I'm not listening to you because
you didn't win. So according to you, I've got to wait in line.
No, the Jets have won Super Bowl.
We didn't win it. No, we did win it. Yeah, obviously.
You don't know your own team's history. What's going on here?
It's been so long.
Yeah, you want to talk about long? So if you're in the club,
no, we won it. Okay,
but we're behind the ropes. So
all right,
and that's it.
That was.
I got confused about because I got here's my New Year's resolution. Here's mine. You all know how I spent the last month of 2021.
So much
feeling yourself.
Okay.
So much S talking.
And then my team in the last day of 2021 got spanked out of the college football playoff. Okay, spanked. So here's what I'm gonna do. Moving forward in 2022. I'm going to stay humble about my college football team. I'll be more humble about my college football team. You know why?
New check.
Because I'm just going to act like we've been there before. Because we have been there before. Which means you can already see the struggle I'm going to have.
I don't
to
like
make
this.
Sure my New Year's resolution can stay put.
In his feelings, Rich Eisen was my favorite Rich Eisen.
No. I'm in my feelings, which is I've been there before. Big Ten champion. Made the college football playoff semifinal for the first time.
It's nothing is what you're saying.
Beat Ohio State for the first time since being a host of this show. So I'm going to stay humble about my football team.
Man, that's not what I wanted to hear.
No,
but okay.
I can stay humble.
It's your resolution.
That's my resolution. What's your resolution, Mike?
Well, since most resolutions get broken very quickly.
Oh,
my resolution is one of those. Sean, our esteemed colleague, made a great graphic. If Mike can put it on. I'm going to try to pay more attention during the show.
And, pay more attention during the show.
By the way, I have a bonus with this. I'm off Doug the Pug. He doesn't want to follow me.
Oh.
I'm his father. I mean, we look alike. He won't follow me on Twitter.
How many people does Doug the Pug follow on Twitter?
He follows enough that he should be following me, and I'm kind of pissed about it. So,
Mike, you want a trick to that? Unfollow him. Follow him right back.
What do you mean?
Because you'll go to the top
The top of the mentions, and you'll see that you got the blue check mark, and he's going to follow you.
We interact. We're family. I mean, he doesn't follow me. I'm upset.
I understand that, Mike.
So that's a helpful step, is that you won't be...
I'm not going to be looking at Doug the Pug.
Paying less attention to the show.
He follows less than 1,000 people.
Oh. I should be one of those.
Wow.
Why am I not?
All right, very good. Good job, everybody.
That was nice.
Now I'm not going to pay attention.
So I'm in the club. I'm in the club.
You're in the club, Rich. You're in the club.
So
50 Cent
and
Rich.
So we can talk.
Did you say
1-2 just because that would let me in the club and you knew I would have a problem?
You actually have won a Super Bowl.
Super Bowl 3.
Yeah, you won one. So
Brockman's in the DJ booth.
You will get a modicum of my engagement. You know?
He's in the booth with me.
Well done.
I will engage to a point.
Good stuff.
You're in the booth too.
All right. Let me get Juliet. What's her name again? I should have written it down.
Oh, the reporter?
Yeah. Take that one to Attleboro. Juliet Pennington, there we go. There's four new New Year's resolutions for you to fill your story with. That,
Please put us in.
Right?
That would be great.
Because Bill's not playing along.
they would be personal, so it doesn't matter to you.
Oh, my God. Maybe next week. Can you imagine you ask that of Bill Belichick after a loss to the Bills, which he's only... had
like a handful of, time, like
a handful of times since being a head coach in New England. That is a rough one.
How nervous was she to ask the question?
I don't think she sounded pretty like
she was really pretty.
Someone had to have said
football
to her
aside.
Somebody had to say that to her, right? Like, what are you doing?
I mean, you got to know when you're going to Bill to be ready because he's gonna.
I mean, everybody was ducking for cover on that one.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. You turn your head.
He is intimidating to ask. When we were at Upfronts in Atlanta, I staked out right in front of his podium so our camera crew could come in.
Oh, to me,
and
yeah,
he was 5 feet from me, and I thought I had a pretty, like, decent question, and he looked over in my direction, and I just
I wanted to ask him about renaming the trophy, and I chickened out.
Well, Irvin says that it should be renamed the Belichick Trophy.
But Bill is, like, not trying to ever hear that.
He'd never want that. I don't think he'd want
it. I think he'd prefer to answer his New Year's Eve resolution. I'm going to be more humble about my team. You know?
No, Rich. The last month of this show was so much fun with you just peacocking and walking around with your chest out. And I was hoping you'd keep that energy for the next 12 months.
I'm going to act like I've been there before.
You can still do that, though.
That's what I'm going to do. That's fine.
Look at him. He hasn't won in 25 years. And
he's got tears on how to engage him.
Exactly. He's like, I'm in.
By the way,
don't matter.
Next time we get Stephen A. Smith on the show,
We
are going to have you describe to him this New Year's resolution.
Oh,
and
fantastic.
That is going to be, as the kids say, lit. I cannot wait for that moment.
Amazing.
We must book him immediately.
Hey, it's just how I
for
feel.
For that reason.
Boy, like I said, it happened once.
Oh, God.
Somebody, it was a Carolina Panther fan, was really trying to talk trash to me. And I was like, why am I arguing with you? Like,
why am I arguing with you?
Let's take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial your phone calls when we come back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You're here live in Los Angeles, California. We already chatted with Brandon Staley of the Los Angeles Chargers and also Peter King. Kurt Warner slated to call us in about a half an hour time. He was in Cleveland, in Pittsburgh last night, pardon me, for the Big Ben finale and also the Cleveland Browns playing a game in which they were eliminated, and their offense kind of looked like it. So we'll talk to Kurt about all that in hour number three. Jeff in Detroit, Happy New Year to you, Jeffrey. What's going on in your mind, sir?
Happy New Year to Unc and my cousins.
What's up, Jeff?
Hey, listen, Unc, we were sitting up politicking in the barbershop, as we usually do, and they came up with a wonderful analogy. Antonio Brown is kind of like Kanye West. You know, it's all about him. He's good when he's great, but when he's bad, he's really off. And he does stuff that you can't really put your finger on. Self-destructive personality, and it's all about him. So, you know, I kind of liken them to each other. I have another question for you, though. With their ups and downs during the season, which team do you have most faith in going further in the playoffs, the L.A. Rams or the Arizona Cardinals?
I'll go with the Rams. I'll go with the L.A. Rams. I think that, you know, is DeAndre Hopkins and James Conner back?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a big difference. That's a big oh yeah. Jeffrey, that's a big oh yeah.
Full strength.
Well, possibly.
Full strength.
And see, like I said, they both have wins that you just look at and you say, my goodness, and they both have losses that you kind of scratch your head at. You know?
I don't know. Personally, I think Aaron Donald's a difference maker, so I'll just take the Los Angeles Rams. They got the best player in the field for both teams. So, thanks for the call there, Jeffrey. Happy New Year to you.
I think you're right about that, but when I look at both those teams, the quarterbacks kind of give me just brief pause. Like Kyler Murray can't stay healthy.
It'd be Kyler Murray's first chance at it. Matthew Stafford's big game, you know.
But Matthew Stafford just sometimes does. I mean, I love the guy, but he does stuff, and you're like, you're too good to be making a throw like that. Like, what were you thinking?
Yep. I know. But guess what? They're both making the playoffs, and we're going to find an answer. And it may be against each other.
I'm excited about that. It's going to be amazing.
Maybe against each other.
They played one of the most entertaining games this year.
So, I want to talk about Antonio Brown one more time here today. I saw him at the Nets game last night. And I just thought to myself, you know, SportsCenter put out a tweet with him at the Nets game last night.
He got a standing ovation when he walked
in
the arena.
I saw that and I thought to myself, what the hell is that all about? Why are we celebrating somebody who self-destructed his career again, who took off his clothes and left the field in the middle of play, the most unprofessional behavior possible, short of trying to say, all right, I'll go in the game, and then purposefully trying to lose the game for your team, throwing the action. Whatever was going on between him and Arians or what have you, and him and the team or what have you, or whatever is going on, for him to respond by saying, I'm taking off my uniform and I'm running on the field during the game and I'm leaving the team in the middle of all of this, we're losing, and I'm waving goodbye. A spectacle. There's no other way to put it. It's a spectacle. Why are people cheering that? Have we lost a sense of shame or remorse in this country? And I know this might come across as high on the mount, or just like, no, I'm not high on any mount. I'm not better than anyone else. I actually feel for this guy in terms of his mental well-being. That's not the action of somebody. Like, if my child did that, I'd be like, what are you doing? We'd have to talk about consequences. We have to sit down and talk about how you handle yourself around others and what image you're putting out there to amongst your friends and your peers and your family and your world. Like, that's the way I would handle it with my 13, 10, and 8-year-old, and this is a grown-ass man. And the fact that the Bucks have not released him yet, part of that might be, legal action and grievances and what have you. But I think part of it is that the Bucks are concerned they might see him in the playoffs against him, that a team in the NFL would actually take him. And I'm thinking to myself, what the hell would that be about? This man left the Steelers, the manner in which he left the Steelers, Facebook living his coach in the locker room and then inactive for his final game due to injury and lack of information. I'm reading from that report. And apparently had thrown a football at the quarterback, Ben. Mad at Juju Smith-Schuster being the MVP. Is it true? Is it not? I don't know. All I know is that he had an incredible setup in Pittsburgh with a coach who had his back all that time. And see ya. Out. They traded him to the Raiders, who gave him the contract he's looking for, right? And then we saw what happened there. Refused to wear a certain helmet. I mean, don't forget everything else that was going on with Gruden and Mayock and the helmet and his feet and were they burned or were they not? Because he was, in some cryo chamber. And then when he gets released, he's celebrating, running around, tweeting everything out, living on Instagram. And then the Patriots go and grab him, like on the spot. And then he blows that whole thing up because of the way he acted when a report came out about one of his many personal transgressions and attacked the owner of the team and Robert Kraft. And still another team grabbed him because Brady said, I got this. And the other team coached by a guy who was with him in Pittsburgh. He saw everything. You know everything. And that coach now looks like he's got egg on his face and mud all over the place. And another team's going to say, yeah, let's bring him in because we can win a championship. I can't believe it, but also can believe it. Why are you cheering him walking in? Because is he entertaining you with his public spectacle? Is that what it is? Like you think it's funny? A player with Hall of Fame credentials getting opportunity after opportunity. I didn't even talk about all the stuff in his personal life that if you could just look up. Opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And each franchise saying, get out. Another one will say, yeah. And then people around the country think it's funny or fun or, I got your back. For what? Would he have yours? Is that what you think? I truly would like to know. You can call me anytime. I'm willing to have a conversation with anybody on this subject matter to enlighten me as to why he, after doing what he did, will just go out in public. Like, yeah, I'm
like no big nothing.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a celebrity on Celebrity Row and cheer me walking into an arena. Like what? That was great, man, when you ran out on a football field without your shirt on and ran out on your team and needed to get an Uber and hung out with an Uber guy and your life is great and now you're at the Nets game? On whose vaccination card, by the way?
Yeah.
So, I don't get it. I don't get it. All I know that should be gotten is help for him. Hour 3 coming up here on the show.